Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Topics of Taboo, the raw and honest podcast where we unpack, educate, and attempt to erase the stigma surrounding taboo topics. In today's episode, I am joined by one of my good friends, Kira Graves, who is also a queer and gender fluid content creator. And in this episode, we just have a good old chit chat about what it means to be gender fluid, what it means to us, how we knew, and we also dive into and answer some of your questions about gender and gender dysphoria, and even just what to do when you don't feel queer enough. So yeah, it's a long one, so strap yourselves in. I hope you all enjoy, and seriously do go and check out Kira's socials. They plug them at the end of the episode because, yeah, they create really, really good content, and she's great. So yes, without further ado, let's get into the episode. I hope you enjoy, and I love you all so much. Hey, Kira, how are you going?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I love how we're low-key acting like we haven't been chatting for like the past half an hour. How is everything in Toronto?
It's good. It's cold as hell. Oh, can I swear on here?
Yeah, of course you can.
Oh, good. Okay. Because it comes very naturally to me. So, yeah, Toronto's good. It's cold. I've been, like, non-intentionally self-isolating, like, literally for no reason, just because we're in lockdown and there's nothing to do and it's cold and I don't want to leave. So I've literally just been in my little cave here, but it's a good cave, so it's been good.
I love that. For those of you who don't know, Kira is also another gender fluid creator. Did you want to introduce yourself a little bit, what you do, your pronouns, all that good stuff?
Sure, yeah. So my name is Kira Graves. I am a queer gender fluid person. I'm an actor. I'm a content creator. I have a YouTube channel, which I love. My pronouns are they, them, and she, her. And today I'm feeling like a good combination of both of those pronouns. Because some days I like one more than the other. So, but today I like both. Same. Even though no one's going to be like, Kira, like no one else other than you is going to be talking to me. I don't even know why I said that. But anyways, how are you doing?
No, that's cool though. It's good to show. I'm doing good. You all know me, so there's no need to introduce myself. But yeah, I guess we just wanted to pop on here and talk a little bit about being gender fluid. I was telling Kira before, they're actually the reason I came to terms with my gender fluidity in the first place. Kira posted a video, when was it? Gosh.
Three or four months ago now? The fall?
It might have even been up for longer.
I feel like it was maybe late summer.
Yeah, because I only watched it in November.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so Kira posted this video on how they knew they were gender fluid, and I was just sitting there, like, one thing after the other I related to so strongly, and I was like, hang on a second, got to the end of the video, and basically started a little gender crisis, gender identity crisis, and I have Kira to thank for that, so thanks.
You're welcome and sorry at the same time.
Yeah, no, but it was really good, and like I have never felt more myself, and I feel like you'd be able to resonate with that, but I haven't. It coming to terms with like being gender fluid has been a massive wake-up call, but also just so freeing at the same time.
Extremely freeing,
and I feel like I feel like a lot of the stuff we'll both resonate with strongly, but I was saying to Kira before we started recording, it's so nice to speak to someone, another fellow gender fluid person, that actually not only listens but understands what it feels like. And I suppose if you're also listening to this and you're gender queer, gender fluid, non-binary, whatever it is, we hope that you can like relate to a lot of the things we're going to be talking about in this podcast episode as well. So
yeah, it's so important. Like I feel like not many people are talking about gender fluidity yet. And I feel like there are a lot of people talking about it just because I'm in the circle of it. But in the general public, it's still a very unknown thing. Everyone's like, what the heck is that? So, thank you for having me on. I'm like, this is my I think my second podcast I've ever done.
Ooh.
So, and I love the idea of just like rambling on because I love talking.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for inviting me on, and I love your content too, and you are like, stories have helped me, like, reassure me and myself. Yeah. So I appreciate that too.
Oh, thanks. So cute.
Course.
But no, yeah, I feel the same. So today, yeah, we have a few questions that we want to work through from all of you regarding gender fluidity, because as Kira just said, it is very uncharted waters. Like, not a lot of people have really spoken about it other than, and we spoke about this as well, TikTok.
Yes.
The TikTok community. Amazing, especially for gender fluid content. Like, the amount of people that relate and the amount of, sorry, the pronoun usage on TikTok. Can we talk about it just for a hot minute? Oh, people get it.
Yeah. And I also think it's because a lot of the younger Gen Zers are on there, and it's not so much like anyone older than that. And it's just really cool to like see society move in a more open direction and in a more self-aware direction. And I feel like we definitely see that happening on TikTok, and it's amazing.
I know. How good is it? Oh. And it's just nice that obviously there are still people on there that don't get it or are like transphobic or homophobic or whatever it is. But for the amount of people that do get it, it is so nice to have that support. And just like, I'm fully talking about, I ordered my first two binders 2 days ago, by the way.
Yay, yeah, that's so exciting.
Literally, I'm so excited, but I never would have thought I'd be sharing stuff like that. And then the other day I posted a video in this, actually, because I'm fully buying clothes.
This.
How cool is it? But
I love
I'm also
shirt
thinking,
so much.
I'm like, okay, but this is cool, but it would look cooler if I was wearing a binder. I would feel more euphoric if I was wearing a binder. And I'm just posted that yesterday, and the people being like, everyone commenting saying, oh my god, can't wait for you to get it. Like, it's just so heartwarming. It's seriously so nice. And you just, I feel like I wouldn't get that on Insta or like any other platform, possibly YouTube, possibly.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's amazing. So shout out to you if you guys are following
it's
us
amazing.
On TikTok. Ooh, we love you.
You're the best. Yeah, we
You're
love
the best.
You so much. Like, literally just seeing your comments being like, I'm also gender fluid, it just makes us feel less alone. Because gender fluidity is like, can be really confusing sometimes. And like, it's not the most, I don't know. I'm always questioning myself, like, because the nature of gender fluidity is always shifting, always changing. I'm always questioning, like, wait, am I still gender fluid? Like, am I a woman or am I a man? Or, but then I'm like, no, it's literally just how gender fluidity works.
Yes.
And it helps to see other people talking about it too. On the binders, that is so exciting, because I personally can't wear binders because I have, like, I don't even know what it is, stomach problems from like compression, and maybe it's because I wore like vintage jeans for too long, like super high waisted vintage jeans, that they have fucked up my stomach so much that like even a tight sports bra can sometimes give me like this horrible pain in my stomach for the rest of the day, and I don't know if I need to get that checked out. But yeah, I can't wear binders, but it's amazing that you can, and like I'm somewhat lucky because I have a smaller chest.
Same.
So it's but that's so exciting. I can't wait to like see your TikToks of you like reviewing them and all that.
Literally, that is like disappointing to hear, but yeah, if you are like more comfortable being, and like that's the thing, it's so weird bouncing between feeling more feminine or feeling more masculine, because it's so weird. I always felt like in high school, when I didn't realize I was gender fluid, I always wanted bigger boobs, and now I'm like, could they please be smaller. But then on those, so I usually feel a lot more androgynous or masculine. Like, I feel I sit there a lot more than I do feminine. But when I feel feminine, I'm like, get them out, show them, and then I'm like, they're could they just be a bit bigger? And it's so weird going from not wanting them at all to wanting, like, these tartars. Like,
I know. You know what I wish?
Yeah.
I wish I had, like, Velcro boobs. Can those be invented?
Yes.
Wouldn't that just solve all of our problems? And we could have different sizes of boobs.
Yeah, how is that not a thing? And, like, I always talk about, because something that I'm super insecure about that I'm opening up a lot more on TikTok and Instagram about is my legs. Like, I've always, and now I've realized that's through gender fluidity and wanting to more of a masculine, like, toned, athletic sort of build. And I understand, like, not all men look like that or are built like that, but the ones that I've been attracted to in the past are and have been. And I'm also quite body pos, so I never understood why I didn't like the look of my legs, because, I mean, I guess you can be body pos but also have insecurities, but I always wondered why I just hated my legs, hated them in shorts, hated them in skirts, dresses. And it wasn't because I have cellulite and because I have certain things that women's bodies often have. Well, I guess it is somewhat that, but it was more that I wanted them to look like a guy's rather than hating how they looked on me, if that makes sense. That might not make any sense, but
no, it does.
Yeah, I always, and then, like, I posted a video the other day and I was like, okay, yes, binders for chest, that's great, but why don't we have, like, binders for legs or, like, thighs or,
I know, or like for hips or something.
Yeah. And I guess maybe that's, like, Spanx or whatever, but
yeah,
obviously that's not for, like, a gender thing. That's for clothes to look flattering or whatever.
I wonder if they could make Spanx for dysphoria or, like, for gender-fluid people. But because, like, usually Spanx are to create, like, an hourglass figure, but sometimes, yeah, like, we don't want that.
No.
So I wonder if there would ever be, like... Spanx to make us look more
like straight down,
straight up and down.
Yeah, because that's, like, the biggest thing that, and, like, I wear a lot of, like, men's tees and, like, baggy boxy fits, and I really need to size up, because if I don't, I hate the way it, like, hugs my hips. And
same,
I don't even have, like, massive hips, but obviously, like, I've got a body that can bear a child, so I've got more there than a cis guy does.
You know what's interesting, I don't know how old you are. How old are you?
I'm 25. I'm nearly 26.
Okay, so recently, so I'm 22, and, like, since the pandemic happened, I've noticed, like, such a change in my body, almost like it was a matter of weight gain, but it was also a matter of my body almost getting ready for a child.
Totally. Yeah.
And I used to have more of, like, a teen body, and it was more, I guess, straight up and down, like, not as curvy. And then all of a sudden in the past, like, 2 years, I've noticed this change, and I'm like, oh my God. And I feel maybe that's why I've only started to feel dysphoria recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I never experienced it. In saying that, I didn't realize my gender fluidity, but totally, I was the same in, like, high school and going before I hit puberty. Even after puberty, I was still skinny mini stick, small-ish boobs, no butt, and I have a butt now.
But we love that, though.
We do, peachy. But yeah, like, stick thin, fit, toned, and you probably... Okay, we're coming to conclusions here. We're realizing things. We love it.
Yeah, holy shit. That's insane. This is the first time I've realized that. And, like, that makes so much sense. Because I was like, I was almost trying to, like, discredit myself for having dysphoria. Because I was like, well, I've never had it before this year or before the past 2 years. But I didn't take into account the age range that I'm in.
Yeah.
Going from a teenager to a quote unquote, like, woman's body. I don't like phrasing it that way, but, you know, anyway, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And you almost, like, I don't know if you felt this, but I've Like, it's kind of like imposter syndrome, right? But also for, like, sexuality and gender. Like, there's still times, and I've only just come to terms with it. Like, I only just came out as gender fluid last November. But still, like, there's times where I'm like, am I faking this? And it's so awful to think that. But obviously not. But it is. It's like, yeah.
I also think a reason for that is, I don't know if this is the same for you, but with me, when I first came out as gender fluid online, I had a lot of people trying to discredit me and trying to tell me, no, you're not. And maybe that's because I wasn't on TikTok yet. Maybe it's because I was only posting stuff on, like, Instagram mainly. Like, I think I got the most hate on Instagram. There was some on YouTube too, but just people saying, like, you're faking it. And then I started to believe it. And then that really messed with my head. And so I need to sometimes just not look at any of the comments because of how impactful just one could make you feel.
Totally.
But anyway, there are a lot of really great comments too. But I think that plays into the whole like imposter syndrome.
Totally. Totally, yeah. I try not to look at on like videos that get like, especially on TikTok, 10 to like 50k views. The comments, you've probably noticed this too. The comment section is very positive, supportive. As soon as it gets past that and gets into like the millions of views, I honestly do not check it because it is, it's hate. Yeah. It's just like phobic, whatever it is, phobic. Just and you're like, okay, I'm just not gonna ever check these comments again. Yeah.
Yeah, literally, you like check it once and you exit out of the app immediately. Yeah. You're like, that was not a good idea.
Let's not do that.
That happened with like, that happened with a lot of my YouTube videos that got really popular. Like, I would go back and then be like, wait, some of these people that are commenting aren't a part of my actual community.
Yeah.
So I can understand why they would come from a different community and look at my video and be like, I can't understand that, but I can understand how once the content gets to a certain amount of views, the hate starts rolling.
Correct.
In, you know?
Yeah. Like on any platform, I feel like that happens. I recently uploaded, it was so random. I uploaded a reel, it was one of my TikToks, as a reel on Instagram, about being gender fluid. I'll try and find the actual one. And it blew up. So my reels are doing quite well, especially in terms of like gender based content at the moment.
On Instagram?
But this was like say a month ago and I started getting all these comments. I was like, oh awesome, it's blowing up. It's like hitting the right audience. And it was all hate and all this, but like it didn't get to me. Let me just find it. And it was all these like men, right, being like, you're a girl, you're like what you were born as, blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, this is funny because you're just pushing my content out to the people that need to see it. Let's dive into some of these cues. There's quite a few, but we'll try and get through as many as we can. This one's interesting. And I actually feel very passionate about this. This person said, I'm having trouble remembering and using everyone's pronouns correctly. Any tips?
Okay.
I don't know. You might feel differently, but someone just trying with pronouns, if I can personally tell that someone is trying with my pronouns, for me, that's enough. I know for some people that's not enough, but for me, that's like so important. And I think at the end of the day, we're only human. There's a difference between being ignorant and not trying at all. And there's a different, and then there's, on the other hand, trying to get it right, messing up every now and again, but apologizing for that and striving to be better. Is that how you feel? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that, but thinking more like strategies, like what can you do? Because it's definitely very, very human and normal to like, you know, mess up because it's something that you kind of have to rewire your brain in a way. And so honestly, just like, this sounds really funny, but to practice, you can just like speak out loud to yourself and imagine you're talking to someone and like use, I feel like repetition is key. Use that person's correct pronoun in a sentence. And like, the more you do it, it'll just roll off the tongue. Like, it's literally just repetition and practice. So yeah, if you mess up, honestly, it means you were trying.
Even just by like asking us that question, you're obviously trying. Like, you're so willing to use the correct pronouns. But yeah, and like, even like Kira said, saying it out loud, even like in your notes app, like talking about them, say you were texting a friend, talking about that person with their preferred pronouns, you can like do that as well and put it into practice. I guess maybe it is easier writing it down, because then you can actually think about it. So instead of blurting it out as misgendering them or mispronouncing them, thinking, okay, wait, what are their preferred pronouns? Okay, let's talk about them in that way. That could be helpful as well, I guess.
Yeah. With people who have like multiple pronouns, just ask them what they prefer that day.
Yeah.
And that means a lot.
So, yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of questions about that, which is so sweet, especially being someone that goes by any and all. And as we know, gender expression doesn't always equal gender identity or your pronouns for that day. Like, there are definitely days where I present more femme, but I'm still feeling like a he, still feeling like a hot boy. Yeah. so like, yeah, don't be afraid to ask. Like, there is, I don't know one gender fluid person. I'm not saying that there aren't any out there, but I don't know one gender fluid person that would be offended by you going, hey, how are you feeling today? Like, what pronouns would you like me to? Yeah, that's like the best thing you can do.
Agreed. Totally.
This person said, how to know if you're gender fluid or just like presenting masculine or feminine some days. Good question.
That's a super good question.
Yeah.
So I would ask yourself, is there a reason behind why you want to present in that type of expression that day? Mm. Or do you do it without thinking?
Yeah.
Because sometimes gender fluid people will want their like outward appearance to match how they see their gender that day.
Yeah.
Not always. And also how you want others to see your gender that day.
Yeah.
So I guess that's how you can differentiate them.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think figuring out if sort of even like not every gender fluid person experiences dysphoria, but for me, I cannot on a day, if I wake up feeling masculine, I cannot wear anything, cannot present, usually 9 times out of 10, can't wear anything remotely feminine. It'll make me feel so dysphoric. Can't do it. So if you feel like, I guess there's a difference between wanting to present a certain way and how you want to look that day, whether it's how those clothes look on you or you feel cool in that, you're allowed to feel that way without being gender fluid. But if this is something that's super internal and it actually outwardly as well makes you feel good because of how you're presenting, then that might be the difference. And there's like a very fine line there as well. Like, it's hard.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, if it evokes a very strong emotion
in
presenting either of the ways, whether you feel really, really satisfied with how you're presenting.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you could present another way and you'd be like, well, this isn't what I would like, but it's still fine. Like, you're not, it doesn't affect like your mental health, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Big one. Because there are fully days, and I feel like a lot of gender fluid people experience this, and there are days where even before I realized my gender fluidity, I would change an outfit 5, 6, 7 times before leaving the house. And I get that cis, like, people that aren't gender fluid get this and nothing looks good on them. They're having a bad outfit day. Yo, I'll literally have that 3 or 4 times a week. And I never realized. And it was like, and I would go fully back and forth from femme presenting to mask presenting to androgynous to, and there are days where I'm fully like, nah, nothing looks good. But I could wear all of those outfits the next day and be like, damn girl, you know, and that's a massive indicator for me, which I never picked up on. I thought I was just being like insecure about my body, and like I was, but in a different way.
And I feel like there might have been another question like this, but I think there was a question about what's the difference between having gender dysphoria and having just regular body insecurities
or
body issue, body image.
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's a good segue.
Yeah. Cause I have both. I definitely have both.
And I've even had trouble distinguishing the two.
Me too.
Like, and I still do. Like, yeah. I don't even know if I have a good answer for this.
Yeah. Neither.
Genuinely. Neither. Like, I am not gender fluid Jesus.
No, neither.
But wait, let's see if I wrote something down.
I was saying I went away with my partner 3 or 4 months ago, and we went somewhere. It was really hot, so we were swimming a lot, and I was wearing bathers, bikinis, and I, let's not lie, with COVID, with lockdown, I've put on weight. Like, I'm definitely not overweight, but I've Me put too. On a few kegs. It's fine, and that's totally fine. I'm not punishing mm-hmm. myself for that. It's been a hard couple of years. But
totally.
I'm not as toned or as fit as I was a couple of years ago. That's fine. But he took some photos of me for Instagram, and we were looking at them later, and some video footage just on the beach. And he actually got annoyed. Like, I was asking him so many times to the point where he got annoyed that I was surprised my body looked like that. And I was fully like, do I really look like that? Do my legs, do my stomach, like, I was surprised at how I looked, and in a good way, don't get me wrong, but I was like, that's seriously what I look like. It was like it had been taken on 0.5. You know how that can, like, elongate you and make you look a bit skinnier and taller? It was just on normal one-time zoom or whatever. And I couldn't believe, I was like, do I really look like that? Because that is not how I see myself in the mirror. And that is when I realized I have something. Not to the point of, like really bad, but there is some body dysmorphia. Is that what it's called? There.
Yeah.
100%.
But correct me if I'm wrong, is body dysmorphia different from gender dysphoria? Yeah, because I've been confused whether I'm feeling body dysmorphia or gender dysphoria.
Oh, they sound the same too.
They do. And it's weird that you brought up the picture thing, because I felt almost like the opposite thing.
Okay.
So, like, when people take pictures of me in, like, my body with, you know, in a bikini or with not a ton of clothes on, I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Is that what my body looks like? Because sometimes I'll look in the mirror and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
But
other times.
Pictures is it's almost worse for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I will say that. Like, I ebb and flow. So that time I was like, I couldn't believe how good I thought my body looked. But then there's other times where I'm like, fuck me. I need to do something about mm-hmm. this body. 100%. But that was just, like, one thing where I guess, yeah. and they both are, I guess, forms of it. So this says here, body dysmorphia is a mental health disorder in which you can't stop thinking about one or more perceived defects or flaws in your appearance, or a flaw that appears minor or can't be seen by others. So, yeah. So, for example, like, Fraser was, like, annoyed because he was like, yes, this is what you look like. Yes, this is what your legs look like. But I don't see that within myself. Like, I probably find my legs a lot larger than they really are. Because, like, I've had people, even on TikTok, where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm so, like, insecure or dysphoric about my legs or whatever. And people are like, I guess, not trying to discredit how I feel, because obviously they can't change that, but being like, but you, like, there was one that I posted recently about wanting to look muscly or wanting to look, you know, like, more muscular and toned, and someone literally commented and was like, that is your body type, and I do not see that at all. And I was like, you're just being nice, you're just flirting.
Right. Like, you're flirting with me, oh my god, stop.
Oh my god. But, like, I'm not, so to me anyway. So yeah, it's really interesting. But body dysphoria versus body dysmorphia. Wow, a mouthful.
Yeah.
So
I can definitely say that I have body dysphoria, not dysmorphia, because I don't really, like, hyper-focus on one part of my body that's,
yeah,
you know, not to society standards, yeah, or whatever, or something that's minuscule and I'm really focusing hard on it. It's more of, I think when I get gender dysphoria, it usually has to do with attributes of my body that are associated with female bodies.
Yeah.
So it usually has to do with either my chest or my hips, sometimes my legs, sometimes the like chubbiness of my cheeks.
Jawline.
Yeah, I know. Big time. I wish I had, like, a... Sometimes it's even about my height.
Okay.
Like, because I'm, you know, I'm an average height for a female born person. Mm-hmm. Like I'm 5'4" and a half.
Okay.
But sometimes I want to be taller.
Yeah.
To have that gender euphoria, but I can't really do that without wearing heels.
And heels,
yeah. And heels are not, unless they're like maybe platform chunky boots or something.
Connie's platform cons, yeah. Docs. Yeah. Have you got these?
The Jadens.
They're vegan.
No, but I've seen, are they?
Yeah.
I've seen them and I've wanted to get them. I have like brown low top,
nice
vintage Doc Martens, but I want like the boot type with nice chunky heel to make me taller.
Nice.
How tall are you?
I'm 170.
You're tall.
Yeah, 175. I don't know what that is. It's centimeters. I don't know what that is in feet.
Oh,
maybe look that up.
Oh, okay. It's yeah, and it's funny. You look like you're tall from pictures and stuff.
They're also angles.
Right.
Got to get those angles.
That's true.
But I am tall.
Oh, so you're 5'7". Okay.
And what are you? 5'4".
I'm 5'4 and a half, so like... So I'm about 165.
Yeah. Same height as my housemates.
Centimeters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because like in Canada, we do use centimeters too, but for some reason we've like adopted the American way of saying height.
I feel like everyone has, and then when people are like, I'm 5 foot something, I'm like, I have no idea. Let me Google it.
Yeah. I know. Like, I got so confused about the time difference between Australia and Toronto. Like, oh, anyway.
Sidetracked.
Let's get back to the questions.
A little bit off the topic of gender, but how to deal with the pressure of not feeling queer enough. Also, I love your videos. They've helped me a ton. Thank you. And I'm sure that's to both of us. Not feeling queer enough, really tough as well. I guess we've both spoken about that as well on our socials. It's annoying, and it's the most, like, it's not really a complex feeling, but it's just so annoying because you go through the whole process of coming out and coming to terms with your sexuality, and then it's like, oh, but am I? Am I just doing this? Am I just making this up?
Yeah.
Am I? And something that I've experienced a lot being bi is, like, people being like, well, have you even dated a girl? And, like, yes, I have, and non-binary individuals, and guys, but I don't have to prove that to you, and that's the most annoying thing, because someone can be single as heck, someone can be asexual, or, like, whatever, and be super valid in their sexuality, like, you know what I mean? Like, like, experience does not equal validity. Ugh.
That is so true. It's... Yeah, I feel like queerness is an inner knowing.
It is.
I don't think anyone can tell you
how
queer you are. Not even these silly little, you know, YouTuber TikTok trends. Like, how gay are you?
Yeah.
Like, that's not...
Yeah.
That's not how to measure your queerness.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally...
They're just trends.
It's inside you.
Yep. And I do that all the time.
Another thing...
Mm-hmm. I do those all the time, but I always, like, disclaim, if I'm doing it as a YouTube video or a TikTok, I always disclaim that I'm like, okay, this is nothing. Like, don't, like, take this with a grain of salt. It's like a, am I gay quiz? I knew I was gay before I did it. Like, you know, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
But, yeah, don't let, the only person that can tell you and validate your sexuality or queerness is you, like, yourself.
Yeah. 100%. And I really... feel like I struggled with that for the first couple of years after coming out as queer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first I came out as bi and then changing labels, blah, 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 but queer in my sexuality.
Yeah.
And I kept feeling like I wasn't queer enough simply because I presented feminine.
Yeah.
And like, this is the silliest thing ever, but it's kind of what society was ingraining into my head. But like, that is not true.
Yeah. And I feel like
it's not true.
It's not true at all. And I feel like that's a very common question amongst femme lesbians. And I get that question a lot as well in Q&As. It's like, I'm a femme presenting lesbian. How do I look more gay or appear more gay? Or, you know, and it's tough because it's like, why do we even need to do that? And I get it, but just communicate. Like, just if you like a girl or if you're into someone or a human, tell them, flirt with them.
Exactly.
You know, like,
Yeah.
You don't need to look or feel or, you know, whatever a certain way. But then at the same time, I understand. And, like, I probably contribute to this, like, gay vibes and stuff. And then that's all fun. But it's like, where does it stop? Where does it start? And, yeah, it's tough. But then it's also, like, there are so many stereotypes associated with the community and being gay. And they can be so positive and fun as well. So
I feel like feeling queer enough comes with your confidence in your own sexuality. And once you fully accept yourself for who you are, I think that will come naturally.
Yeah, that's about, yeah, definitely. And, like, I too really struggled with that. And you said that thing about not feeling queer enough because you presented so femme, but I have struggled with, I don't anymore. I'm so confident within my sexuality, but dating, predominantly dating cis guys. Like, there were so many times where I'm like, oh my God. And I hated that I even thought this way, but it's because society pushes it on bi women so much about, okay, but, like, you're dating, you're going to end up with a guy. Like, you're not really bi. And it's like, no, like, I am so valid. And as I said before, you don't have to, but I've dated women. Like, I've dated non-binary people. But even then, like, even without that, it shouldn't matter. But still, I'm like, oh, like, I had thoughts of, like, oh, am I, like, very imposter syndrome, very, am I bi, though? Like, I seem to always end up in long-term relationships with guys and short-term with every other human. Like, what am I doing? And then, you really question your queerness. But, yeah, so I feel you, but hopefully our answers helped a bit.
And I think with time, it'll get better, too.
Definitely.
And just being patient with yourself and working on your, working on cultivating that relationship with your inner self and your inner being and your,
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, this is a good question. What's the biggest difference between finding out if you're non-binary or gender fluid? Which I feel like we should just quickly touch on the fact that non-binary is its own entity. But it's also an umbrella term. But yeah, what would you say to that? Like, the biggest difference between being non-binary or gender fluid? Because, I mean, they are different things.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, they could be different to some people, but they could also be the same, to some people.
And people use both terms, like, interchangeably. I know I do.
Me too. And so I get how it could be confusing.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, I always say that non-binary is more of the kind of umbrella term that encompasses not feeling one of the binary, not feeling like your gender is one of the binaries. So male or female or man or woman or whatever. And gender fluid is more of a more specific label, I guess, under the non-binary umbrella. And it basically just means you feel that your gender shifts based on the day, the month, within the same day.
Minute.
And it's never just one same thing. You know? So, yeah, you could identify it as non-binary and gender fluid at the same time. But you could also, like,
one or the other.
Like, there's a lot of non-binary people that don't identify as gender fluid because that's not how they feel. So, yeah.
That was a really good explanation.
Thanks.
That was good. Can cis people have she, they, or he, they pronouns? I think I'm cis, though, still not sure, and I vibe with she, they.
Okay. Yeah, this is possibly a controversial topic, and I feel like a lot of people have very differing opinions on this. And at first I was really confused at how someone could be cisgender and use, like, they them, because I always just associated, like, they them pronoun with, you know, not being cis. So I was confused, but you know what, you guys educated me and you were like, gender doesn't equal pronouns. Pronouns don't equal gender. It's honestly just, like, what you're most comfortable with. And who are we to gatekeep how you feel or how you want to identify, you know? So it's honestly, like, do what you want.
Whatever makes you feel comfortable.
But yeah, I'm honestly done with Not that I ever did this, but I'm done with trying to force people into boxes, or done with society forcing people into boxes, and, you know, oh, you have to check all of these checkpoints in order to be this label, this identity. Like, that is bullshit to me. Like, it's literally like, you decide for yourself. No one else can tell you what to do. It's your freaking life. And even if people don't agree with it, fuck them. It's your life. It literally doesn't matter what anyone else thinks but you.
Literally. Oh, preach. So, preach!
Yeah.
Good. I'm not even going to touch that. That was a perfect answer.
Oh, thanks.
I know we've spoken about this throughout the podcast, but just briefly, is it possible to be gender fluid and your gender only changes twice a month or even less? 100%. If at all your gender changes fluidly, you're gender fluid and you're valid in identifying as that, and you are that. Like, 100%.
There you go. And again, we are not here to gatekeep who gets to identify as gender fluid.
No way.
Because as much as we would like to claim this title, we are not gender fluid Jesuses.
Absolutely not. Even if we wanted to be.
Right.
Okay, here we go. I guess this is a good one. I've pretty much explained mine, but how did you know you were gender fluid? And that's to both of us.
Oh my God.
So many things.
You were talking about the video that I posted about how I knew I was gender fluid. And in this moment, I don't even know what I said in the video.
Okay, the thing...
Like, I genuinely...
There was one thing that really struck with me, and it was the first thing you said. So maybe this will jog your memory a bit. You said that you always sort of felt uncomfortable or not happy with people, A, assuming your gender in public, so at a cafe, but being called, like, hey, girlies, or, like, ladies. You said, like, when you're at a cafe and someone comes up, especially, like, a cis man, it's like, ladies, what can I get you? Yeah. And I did too. I was always like, excuse me? And like, even when I was, like, even when I genuinely thought and was happy with she, her, it always annoyed me. It unsettled me. Less so with women doing it, but I was always like, yeah, don't call me that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of the things.
Right. You know, yes, definitely. And I think it's weird because I almost, like, my dysphoria or my gender fluidity or whatever it is gets more triggered when I'm in public and, like, interacting with people. Like, if I'm just at home chilling, I'm like, all right, you Gucci. Like,
totally.
I'm not really gonna think about anything too much, but like, something kind of has to, like, instigate it for me to feel, oh wait, that does not feel right. So people on the street perceiving me as a woman, I didn't like that. And that's not being anti-feminist. That's literally just like...
Just being, don't assume.
It didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel like that was who I was. I've always hated when people said, like, ma'am or miss or, hey, ladies, hey, girls, what can I get for you? I'm, like, shriveling up into a little...
Yeah.
Into a raisin.
Yeah. And like you said, like, it's not anti-feminist at all, because when I'm feeling femme, I am feeling it. But I still don't like being called that.
Like, right. Yeah, you know, exactly. Sorry, I don't like people assuming things.
No, never assume. Never assume.
Yeah.
And you can't, and especially, you cannot. You can never assume. Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't assume someone's gender by how they're presenting or how they look, because a lot of the time, they don't equate to each other. Sometimes they do, sure. But, like, that's why we communicate. That's why we ask. That's why we have conversations about it. And I think that's what this podcast is really helping to do as well. And obviously our social media. But
totally,
yeah, just another thing, I don't know if you felt this as well, for me, obviously, the question is, how did you know you were gender fluid? And these are just coming back retrospectively. But in primary school, high school, I felt a lot more comfortable surrounding myself with guys. I felt much closer to the guys. I still had my girlfriends and guy friends and a group of, like, combo, like, all of us, but I resonated a lot more with the boys. I felt stronger. I loved that I was the tomboy, the masculine one, the one that hung out with the boys or played sport with the boys, and I loved that, and that felt so right. And anytime I was with the girls and it was like doing makeup, like I would love hanging out with the girls still, but it was like if it was anything to do with makeup or like anything like that, rather go and play Tiggy with the boys. And again, that doesn't have to mean anything, but for me that was another like indication retrospectively. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just remembered one thing for me was that my ex-partner, this is going to sound really weird, but when they were discovering, or sorry, when he was discovering his gender identity, I was weirdly jealous of him. I was like, I wish I could do that. I wish I could just come out and come out as non-binary or just, you know, come out as anything other than cis.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was weird. Like, I don't know if it was a resentment or a jealousy, but it was just like an icky feeling. And I needed to like do something with that. Like, it didn't feel right just like sitting with that. So yeah, thinking back on those moments and also with like other non-binary people I knew, friends and stuff. I was just like, how dare you?
Yeah.
And then totally. I was like, oh wait, that's because I can do that. I can come out too. Why can't I? Why am I placing this like limitation on myself? There's no reason.
I must be cis.
Well, that too. Yeah. And I was scared. I was like, oh my God. Probably also coming from, you know, a Catholic background. Mm. I was like, oh my God, I can't. I'm so scared, you know? Yeah. But embracing who you truly are is so fulfilling and just so right.
I know.
Yeah. Another thing I just remembered is I really liked, dressing up as like male characters for Halloween or,
dad in Moms and Dads
on stage. Yeah. Yeah. Literally. I'm like, I'll be the daddy.
Always.
Don't mind
Always.
If I do.
Yeah.
Or even in, like, in stage plays and stuff like that. I would always gravitate towards those characters because I wanted to feel how that felt. I never understood why until I took a look at it more closely.
Yep. Literally same. My last thing, like, there's a bunch more things I could speak about, but my last, like, most important probably thing is that as soon I, like, again, this could also, like, this is my experience and it doesn't have to be anyone else's, but in terms of clothing, mum would dress me up and like, this is fine because that's, if you have a child that is a girl and they don't protest or say anything different, like, yeah, she's going to dress me up in dresses and girly clothes, mm-hmm. obviously clothes don't have mm-hmm. a gender, but you know, like dresses, pink, wanting me to wear, like, whenever we went out for dinner, always wanted me to put on, like, lipstick or lip gloss, and there'd be so many times where I'd be like, okay, and fake it, right? Because I didn't want to put it on. I didn't realize, I just thought that was me being like, ugh, no, it's just dinner. No, I didn't want to look any more feminine. Like, I did not want to do that. As soon as I had my own money and bought my own clothes, straight to the men's section, straight to it. And I remember mum like always being like, and she's super supportive of me now and like understands it. We've had conversations about it, but she's always like, don't like, why are you shopping in the guys section? And like, I don't blame her for that at all. It's how society is. It's fucked. And mm-hmm. she's a lot more understanding of it now. She doesn't give a what, but like, yeah, it was always, and I was like, mum, just let me do what I want. And it was very like, not even, trying to push the boundaries of society and what we are supposed to wear or like present ourselves in. It wasn't rebellious. It was, this is what I feel comfortable in. Why the fuck would I wear something that isn't?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that was probably another massive thing that I just overlooked. And again, and there's people out there that are cisgender and do that because that's what they're more comfortable in. Mm-hmm. But for me, that was a massive indication of gender fluidity.
Interesting. And
yeah,
it's almost like the opposite with me where pink is my favorite color, pink and yellow. And like, I loved dresses. I love dressing mm-hmm. feminine. I did up until quite recently, and like I've always loved makeup, still love makeup to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
I was, you know, the artsy fartsy kid, not the athletic really kid. I mean, dance is a sport, but yeah, you know, like I was the actor and the singer and the dancer, and like I was the more, I guess, like feminine, whatever you want to call
stereotype. Feminine. Yeah,
yeah, but. But yeah, only until recently. And I do think that I will go back to exploring my feminine side. Yep. But for now, I've needed to almost go the opposite way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, dress mostly mask or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do think that one day I will.
Yeah.
I will explore my femininity again. And there are still a lot of feminine things about me. Like,
yeah,
you know, my mannerisms or whatever it is, and like that's fine, but
totally.
But yeah, like dressing in the way I do now has really helped me feel confident, so that's why there was a change.
Yeah, I get that too. I totally get that. In saying that, like the other night, I don't know if you saw it, but the other night I was like, ah, and I was really inspired by, do you know Alex Renee, the gender fluid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Staple your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely love Alex and Alex's content. And
me too.
I have extensions that I bought last year. Oh, actually, I got them sent to me. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make some thirst traps. And I literally
Oh my God.
Did.
I saw them. They're hot as fuck.
I was like, hang on. I didn't recognize myself, like, as the guy, the masculine, yes, I did, because this is how I normally, like, 9 times out of 10 present, but when I, and, like, I never do eyeliner, I did eyeliner, put fake lashes on, like, Slay. Everything, I was like, oh my, like, yeah, I can do this, and then I haven't Slay. Dressed up, like, since, like, it's been a week, and I'm like, nah, but it's just so funny, because when I did, I felt so powerful, so feminine, so girly, like, loved it, but then now
but
I've gone
still
back to,
gender fluid.
Mm-hmm. Still gender fluid.
I need to get myself some extensions or a
yes.
wig. Like,
I want to, yeah.
I'm always, like, unsatisfied with my hair in any way that it is.
I love
your
new hair,
though. Oh, thank you.
It's so nice. It makes me want to do it.
Oh, my God. It's so freaking nice. Like, it's so freeing.
What did you ask
then
for?
Again, I showed them pictures of Tachi.
Oh, yeah. I love Tachi.
Yeah, Tachi is obsessed. So fucking hot. And I was like, I love their hair. I need this in my life. And also, mm-hmm. I knew that the haircut would look decent on me because me and Tachi kind of have similar facial structure.
Totally.
And, like, we kind of look alike in a way.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was like, I just need to do this. Like, I've been putting this off for so long. Like, I've wanted this for years now, but I've had so many people tell me, don't do it. You're going to be ugly. You're going to this and that. Like, you're going to,
what the heck?
You're not going to suit it, your face shape. I've had, like, hairdressers tell me that my face shape won't suit it. And I believe them. So I was like, okay, I don't want to look ugly. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what? I just need to fucking do it.
Yeah,
but then again, there's some times where I'm like, oh, I miss my shag, or I miss my bob, or I miss, like, really long hair.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, I want even shorter hair than this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to go full pixie.
Yeah.
So, like, oh,
I know.
I need to find a solution because it's so irritating because I'm never satisfied.
Yeah. Yeah. Hair is another big thing with gender fluidity. Whoa. Yeah. So big.
My God,
hate how it looks. Always hate. I get it cut. And then I think it's short for a day. And then I'm like, my hair's too long. It's too long.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, it's not long enough. Like, when I go to the beach, especially, I love having, like, long hair when I'm at the beach. Obviously, you can't just be like, okay, I want long hair today. I want short hair today. What a bald head. Like, no, you can't just do that. But yeah,
Velcro.
Yeah, Velcro. Done.
Velcro. Done. I think this is the answer.
Yeah, obviously. It's the answer to everything. But yeah, I do want to experiment a lot more, like, on TikTok with, wigs and, like, even, like, short wigs. Oh, put my hair in beanies.
Yeah.
Just.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's a good one. How to know if you are on the non-binary spectrum or simply wanting to rebel against gender norms. We have touched on this a little bit, and I suppose with answering questions, we've said you can feel this and do this without being non-binary. But yeah, what do you feel is the actual difference there?
Have you? Let me look in my notes.
Cute.
So, sorry. I feel like non-binary is more of like a feelings thing and an identity thing, and rebelling against gender norms is like an opinion thing or like a political stance thing.
So true.
Or society stance. I don't know how you would word that. But yeah, you can definitely rebel against gender norms and be a woman, and rebel against gender norms and be non-binary or whatever. But yeah, I think it's, and I struggled with this a lot, like even up until recently, but it's definitely like, even just this conversation is making me feel like assured in my, in my identity, like literally, cause I'm always questioning it. But yeah, I feel like it's, if it has to do with your own personal feelings, then it's probably the gender identity thing.
Yeah. Because, yeah, again, you can have an opinion about it, and that's nice. Yeah, I guess it's almost like being an ally versus being part of the community, I guess. Because you can have a strong opinion. Like, my friends, my housemates are all straight, but they feel very strongly about people like homophobia and like just being very positive about the LGBTQ plus community, but they don't actually like, they feel that. I mean, they think that, but they don't feel that, I guess. Yeah, that is the difference.
Yep, exactly.
These two are very similar questions. How do I explain gender fluidity to straight cis people? And how do you describe your gender changes? Like, how do you feel them and how do you notice them? So I guess that can both, they can tie in with each other of how to explain that gender fluidity, what it feels like, and the changes. I think we've sort of spoken about, when we spoke about the difference between gender fluidity and non-binary, what gender fluidity is. I guess it wouldn't be any different explaining it to a straight cis person than just someone who isn't gender fluid.
Yeah.
I guess just that we feel like we don't fit the binary of either.
Yeah.
And that it can ebb and flow and change literally like that. Like, Or it doesn't have to. It's complex. It's actually hard to explain. It's so much easier to feel. It is. And I wish I could just like show people through how we feel rather than words.
I know. It's so hard to explain in words.
Cause I can, you just feel it, but that's obviously the worst possible answer.
I know, right? I know. And like, maybe a way you could explain it is like the gender changes is, I think I mentioned this earlier, but something almost has to trigger the gender change feeling moment. Whether it's putting on a certain article of clothing that I don't feel matches my gender expression, or someone calling me a certain pronoun that I don't feel matches my gender expression. But it's rare that I'll just be kind of sitting in my apartment, not looking in the mirror, doing my own thing, that I'll feel the gender changes.
Same.
Because you're not focusing on that, like, it doesn't come into play. It's just you just are being, and I hope one day we can all just be and not have to think about all this stuff. But because of the place we are in society, like, you know, we do, and it helps a lot of people by explaining what we're feeling. Like, sometimes I'm like, damn, it's so hard to explain my gender fluidity. Like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to explain it to people. Like, in this podcast, I was like, oh my God, like, kind of getting anxiety, being like, how will I ever explain it properly enough? But I think it's really, you know, we're trying. I think we're doing our best, and I think it's resonating. And hopefully one day we won't have to even think about this, because we'll just be born as human beings and we can express however we freaking want, no matter our body parts. Praying for the day.
I agree. My like feelings towards how my gender changes is usually always triggered by something I wear, Even something I watch, seeing myself in the mirror, mm-hmm. On a particular day, my cycle really changes how I feel as well.
Interesting.
I get dysphoric as feck the week leading up to my period and first couple of days. After that, I'm usually fine, but I feel, oh, I hate it. And I want to bring something up.
Me too.
I recorded a video on it the other day, and like, I don't know how you feel about whether you want children or not, but I'm like someone that's like, oh yeah, like I could have them, but also it's not the end of the world if I just end up with a million fur babies, like dogs.
Me too. yep. But I want like 20 cats.
Literally. But pregnancy, can you imagine feeling like the dysphoria? Have you thought about this?
No.
I've just planted a bomb in your mind. I'm sorry. Because you can't just...
I have not really thought about this.
Mm. You can't just hide that.
It would make your boobs bigger. It would make your hips bigger. The whole... Everyone would be like...
Pregnancy thing is associated with reproduction and the female, like, being a woman. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And, yeah. It's
you can't just not be pregnant. Like, you can't just be like, I don't want it today. No.
I know. Like... And how would you even hide, like, if you were super far along in your pregnancy, how would you even hide that belly?
Well, you can't.
Not that you would want to, but, like, if you wanted to, you can't.
Yeah.
Unless you wear a paper bag.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
A bin bag.
But, yeah, it's...
Just food for thought.
Wait. Yeah, I have a question for you. Like, do you feel dysphoric about the whole, like... what happens when you menstruate or
no? I think it's just the kind fact of just it's weird. I'm in two minds about it because I came off the pill March last year and I just had lots of issues with it. A lot of people were commenting saying, why don't you just go on the pill, or like there's other things you can do to stop your period. And obviously I'm aware of that, but the pill just messed with my mental health, physical health too. So I'm choosing just to have nothing in my body, natural, get my hormones and cycle back to how it should be kind of thing. So I'm in two minds about it because I'm always really happy when it comes because I'm like, okay, if my cycle's getting back to normal and if my partner and I decide to have kids later on down the track, I'm glad that things are coming back to normal and it's in its natural rhythm. But then at the same time, I'm like, fuck this. I feel so dysphoric. If I was a dude or like a cis dude, I wouldn't have to go through this. Cis dudes, my boyfriend doesn't have to go through this. And I have that whole gender envy, dysphoria feeling of why the fuck do I have to go through this? You know, I don't even feel like a girl. Like I'm not a girl. So it's more that than actually like, we spoke about this earlier, but I don't consider myself trans either because I am comfortable with my reproductive organs and my body for the most part. It's more how my body looks in the clothes rather than...
In clothes! 110%!
Yeah. Yes. And a few people asked about, like, gender reassignment or gender confirmation surgery, and I think we're both on the same page with, like, not being something that is on our radar. But, yeah, I still feel dysphoric on my period. Do you feel dysphoric on your period?
It's interesting. I don't feel dysphoric about getting my period like you do, how you're like, why the fuck do I have to get this?
Yeah.
It's more so PMS symptoms triggering an insane amount of dysphoria in me. So, like, it's not even the fact that I'm gonna get my period.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't really have to do with that. It's mainly, like, PMS symptoms really bring it on. And I'm always, like, sitting there on my bed crying, like, a few days before I start menstruating.
Yep.
Being like, I think I'm, a trans man. Like, I'm feeling so dysphoric about my body that I'm like, I think I might be, like, a binary trans male.
Yeah.
And I get that sometimes, but I don't always feel like that. So that's what makes me gender fluid. And the fact that I'm going to get to a place of like neutrality with my body.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, all right, this is my flesh vessel. And it's not the most important thing. My soul is the most important thing, and I'm just trying not to place so much emphasis on my physical body, although it really matters how I dress it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even
I know.
Like, having it doesn't make me upset.
Yeah, yeah. I get that, and maybe no one else will, but I get exactly.
I'm glad.
Well, I and many other gender fluid or gender queer people will probably get that.
But okay.
To anyone else listening, trust us. Just trust us.
Yeah. I know it might not make sense, and that's okay. You don't have to understand it, but the fact that you're listening is important.
Yes, yes. Okay, we don't have many more questions. We've actually got through a lot of them, because a lot of them are very similar. Ah, I love Kira! Please talk about how gender fluidity affects gender expression.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it greatly does. And a lot of people say that, oh, you know, the way you dress doesn't always have to equal gender, but in a lot of scenarios, it does for gender fluid people, or maybe not for other gender fluid people, but for me at least.
Yes.
So yeah, that's how it affects it, you know?
Yeah. I think that was a good question. Good answer. Yeah, I think, and like, I guess I touched on this before, but very similar. Like, I try to preach that gender expression and gender identity aren't the same thing and they don't have to correlate, but for a lot of gender fluid people, they do. So when I 90% of the time I feel quite masculine, I feel very androgynous, I'll dress like this and it will reflect that. And if I was dressing any other way, wouldn't feel as confident, would feel dysphoric, would feel yuck, like, ugh, that doesn't look good. And that's more about how I feel within myself because of how I'm dressing outwardly. But in saying that, like the other night when I wore extensions and stuff, I felt both like almost equally masculine and feminine. I still felt like a boy, if that makes sense. But also could recognize how feminine I was looking and was like, yeah, dig it. Dig it. But they don't have to, I guess, interact with each other, but a lot of the time they do. So
yeah,
I guess exactly. That's a good.
And a lot of people say that like being your most authentic self is like the best way to go and do whatever is best for you. But sometimes in order, like if your parents or your grandparents have more of a prejudice mindset.
Yeah.
And you know this beforehand, like, and you want to continue to have, a good relationship with them, especially if they're old and, you know, maybe they don't have many years left.
Yeah.
I kind of just let it slide. Like, yeah. I don't really feel the need to bring it up. And same thing went with my sexuality, too.
Yeah.
Except for when, like, my partner and I were getting married. Like,
yeah.
that's an important thing. Then they could know.
Yeah.
But, in terms of gender identity, I just don't think it really matters in our relationship.
Sometimes it's not worth
all.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
it sucks because
you think so too.
Like you said, I'm the same. You do want to be your true authentic self, but like not telling one person in your life isn't going to stop you from doing that or living your most authentic life. I know you might feel like you really want to tell them, but yeah, as Kira was saying, if you do feel as though they're quite prejudiced towards it or you know that they won't react well, you don't have to tell them. And yeah, sometimes it's better to just protect yourself. I think with anything in life, not even just gender and sexuality, but sometimes it's just better to not. And that doesn't mean other people don't have to know. Tell absolutely everyone that you know will listen and accept you and embrace it. And maybe don't tell the others. But yeah, I had a couple of questions there about coming out to grandparents. So I'm glad we touched on that one. If you really want to, then obviously go for it. But
yeah, of course.
I like looking femme, but I feel genderless, just no connection to pronouns in general. Help, lol.
Same.
I mean, same.
I am genderless. We're all, yeah. I feel very, very genderless.
So do I. Like, I feel like, genderless. There's days I was trying to explain this to a phrase the other day. I was like, I was kind of like, you know how you're a boy? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, and obviously I knew the answer to it when I was asking, but I was like, do you are you consciously always aware of the fact that you're a male and like, that's how you feel? And it's 100% of the time there. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, because sometimes I don't feel, I'm genderless and I just absolutely don't it's almost like you're numb to it. Like, you just, there's yeah. nothing there. But then at times you can also feel, yeah. like, sometimes I'm like, oh, fuck, I feel so much like a boy. Like, and I love that.
Yeah.
But not actually, clearly I'm not. But right. I also I am.
Like, it's so. Yep. Yep. Yep.
But you can be genderless. You don't have to, like, particularly associate with a set of pronouns. Like, there's also, I haven't done much research into, like, Z, is it Z? Oh, my God.
Zer?
Zer, is it?
I think it's Z-Zer and actually, I'm not sure.
Okay, Z-Zer pronouns. Gender neutral pronoun set. There you go. Up to each individual to decide which pronoun best fits them and their identities. Z is oh yeah. So I actually, yeah, really need to educate myself on those. But
me too, me too.
Genderless, we get it.
Yeah, and more nowadays, I'm starting to just feel genderless most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I do feel like I associate with a certain gender, I know that it isn't truly what's going on in my brain. It's society telling me that certain things are associated with a certain gender. So it's mainly just like, in reality, I feel genderless all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But since gender exists within society, this is relevant
yeah.
to a lot of people and me sometimes. But I honestly just want to, be genderless. I just want to drop it personally
yeah.
for my own self.
Yeah.
But I know for a lot of people, like, gender is very important to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I kind of just want to one day just be like, no more gender.
No, thank you. Yeah. I don't want it. Yeah. You can have it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
This question, we can use these two together. How to know which pronouns fit and which don't, and how to tell a family member or families about your pronouns. So I didn't know. I got a few comments about this with it because I started to get a lot of questions about which are your preferred pronouns. And this is before I was like, oh, any and all. There's a website where you can put pronouns in and it creates like sentences and refers to you in that way. Did you know that?
No.
Pronoun dressing room.
That's,
oh. So you put your name, you can put your name, subjective. So like, these are the examples. Alice, she, her, possessive determiner, her, possessive pronouns, her, reflexive, herself, type of person, girl. And you can do singular and plural and then try it on. So you can change it to whatever you want. This is what the website looks like, going on that website, but also just like trying to, you could also get a friend to refer to you in with different, I did that as well, refer to you and see how it feels. It's either going to feel right or wrong or meh. And if it feels wrong, cut that out. And then just.
Exactly. Yeah. I literally got my partner to like start when I was first trying out they them pronouns.
Yep.
I just got my partner to like start using them for me, and I was like, all right, that's pretty rad. I kinda like that. I haven't had anyone refer to me as he, well, obviously because I don't say that those are my pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I wonder if that would be an option for me. I have no idea. Like, I haven't thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just always kind of associate he him with like man, and I don't necessarily feel like a man all the time, so like I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but I feel like I'm good with she, they.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And even if someone said he, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah, it wouldn't offend you.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't offend me. Exactly.
Yeah. And in terms of how to tell family members your pronouns, I haven't even really done, like, I guess it's on my socials and most of my family follows my socials, but like,
exactly.
I mean, if you were to, I guess like you could wear a pronoun badge. You could just have a friendly conversation about it. It honestly really just depends on the family, who they are, how progressive, I guess, for lack of a better word, they are. Yeah, I don't really know the easiest way. It's, you could make a TikTok and send them that, like.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like kind of coming out on social media and then them seeing it has been easiest. The way for me too.
Yeah.
And even though they don't really use they, them for me, and they still call me like girl and ladies and blah, blah, blah. I have told my mom that I prefer gender neutral terms to describe me, but I don't think she's really going to do that. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of, I don't know. I've come to accept it. It doesn't bother me that much just because they're my family.
I'm the same.
And they have a Catholic background, and I'm exhausted. I don't really want to go there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get it.
But for some people, it is very important. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to do that, like, do it. But for me, it's not really necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
My sister uses my pronouns, though.
That's nice.
Yeah. She's, like, 30, so, like, she is closer in age than my parents. Yeah. So, like, she kind of, she gets it, and she's also part of the LGBT community as well. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She gets it. Well, I love how Georgia calls Hope her sibling. I think that's the cutest thing.
My sister calls me both, like, sister and sibling.
So cute.
Because I said, like, both are good.
Yeah.
It is cute. I love that word.
Sibling. I love sibling. This is my sibling. Also, right before we wrap things up, partner, I have always, no matter who they are, I've always predominantly referred to whoever I'm seeing as partner. Like, I've never gendered it. Like, I've never been, like, girlfriend, boyfriend, or whomever. It's always been partner. Like, maybe once or twice, I've been like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. But it's either their name or partner. And I always just found that way more. And, like, I heard Fraser call me his partner the other day. And I was like, oh, yep. Yep. That's it. That yep, hits stiff.
Like, it for me.
He's called me his girlfriend and stuff in the past. And that's fine. And, like, if he introduces me as his girlfriend now, that's fine. It doesn't annoy me either. Because sometimes I do identify with she, her. And it's comfortable and whatever. But hearing partner, I was like,
yeah
I am. That's me.
Heck yeah.
So nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's funny, like, my partner will call me, like, their wife, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm your wifey.
Yeah.
But also, they mainly say partner, so, like, yeah, I like the amount that they say each word.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that.
You know.
All right, well, that pretty much wraps it up. Thank you so much for coming onto the potty.
Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun.
It has.
I feel so good after this chat. Same. Like, I feel warm and fuzzy inside and all the good emotions. And also, I've never actually talked to you, like, one-on-one before. I've only just seen you on social media. So I'm really glad that, like, we have each other's, like, iCloud.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Yeah, literally.
Email. It's cool to have, like, a friend that's all the way on the other side of the world.
Did you want to quickly plug any of your socials? Because I know you're on absolutely everything, and Kira creates really, really good content, so I'm sure you want to go follow her as well. So,
thank you.
What are your handles?
So on YouTube, I'm just Kira Graves. That's KeiraGraves. And on Instagram, I'm at Kira Graves, same spelling. And on TikTok, I'm at Kira.Graves.
Oofed.
Yeah. Big woo. And I'm also an actor, so you might see me on TV from time to time or, like, on random web series. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast.
Of course. I'm sure you'll be back on at some point. This felt very, like...
Oh, I hope so.
Fluid, for lack of a better word.
So fluid.
So fluid.
Everything's flowing. Oh, 110%.
No, it was very good. I hope you all enjoyed having Kira on, and I'm sure we will be chatting again soon.
I hope so.
Bye! Bye.